cultivating presence. I imagine that when you read about that and the different ways in which it was described on the website and also on the beginning of the workbook which you got, that there's sort of different descriptions of it. And certainly I guess that one of the reasons that I was attracted to the idea of it or to the title of it and what leads from that is firstly of the word presence, which is very much to do with being in the present and certainly connecting to that part of us which is in the present all of the time, which is our essence, our spiritual self. And I'm also particularly attracted to the word cultivating because of all the associations that it has of, particularly I guess at this time of year, for being in nature and for gardening, and for those of you who are able to garden and may well be doing that, the aspect of cultivating, which includes looking after and nourishing and doing whatever we need to do to develop whatever it is we're cultivating, to be able to bring it to a point of kind of coming into its best, coming and flourishing. And I think that, you know, really to get a sense of the significance of that, of flourishing, of thriving, and how much more strongly we're able to do that by being present in the present moment. And, you know, I guess that, you know, if we look at the different aspects of the quadrinity, which you became so much more acquainted with on the process, to the point now where checking in with the four aspects of your quadrinity has become for many of you a regular part of your day. And in doing that, I imagine there's a kind of an increasing recognition that our spiritual self, the unprogrammed part of us, is always in the present moment because it's unprogrammed. And also, if we look at our bodies very much from the physical beingness of our body in the here and now, is that our body also lives in the present moment. It's our program parts, our intellect and our emotional self, which kind of can go travel backwards and forwards of either living in the past or thinking about the future and traveling different points in between. But of course, also our intellect and our emotional self can always be in the present, can come back to the present. And I guess it's really to realize that, you know, to be an integrated quadrinity and to be living from an integrated quadrinity means that we are more and more able to live in the present moment and to be present, unless there are things that need to be planned, in which case we may go into the future and think about what we need to be doing, but then come back to the present moment. However, we do have the old habits, and those old habits may well be overthinking, overplanning, always being concerned about the future, always feeling a need to plan the future. And then is mostly the activity of the intellect. And then, of course, what happens with our emotional self is that it may be having a focus on the future, and that may involve sometimes being excited about the future, but it also may involve anxiety or catastrophizing. Or there is the possibility of living in the past and in some ways considering that, oh, things were better back then, or worrying about still what happened in the past and having a sense of all of those things that happened to me then are having an impact on me now, and there's nothing I can do about it. But so there's this kind of backwards and forwards that's continuing to take place. And also at the same time, there is the connection that we're able to have increasingly with our spiritual self. And so we're going to be looking at ways to cultivate that. You know, what are the ways in which we can make our practice stronger? What are the ways in which we can be present more of the time? And I guess that word presence, there's another aspect of the word presence that had occurred to me when I was thinking about this evening, about the webinar. And the kind of the root meaning of it is to be present, and which is very, very much to do with being connected with our spiritual self and living from that. And I also occurred to me that we use the word presence in other ways as well, I guess, in what I would say in a more kind of worldly and practical way. Because on the one hand, if we, for those of you who, I mean, I think we all are familiar with the Dalai Lama and the presence that he has, and also the sense of presence that other people who are closely connected with spiritual traditions have, and that when we're around them, we kind of pick up on that sense of presence. And certainly I'm speaking for myself, and the couple of occasions when I've been in the presence of the Dalai Lama when he's been giving teachings or talks, is an absolute sense of calmness in the present moment that he has when he's talking, when he's explaining. But there's a palpable sense of him being in the present. But it also occurred to me that we use the word presence sometimes to describe maybe even a mafia boss, you know, somebody who has an incredible sort of a sense of power and presence, which may have a different, which may create a different feeling, a feeling of a bit of fear or uncertainty. And therefore, you know, the essence of the word that this cultivating presence is all about is to do with being connected with your essence, with your spiritual self. And so I just want to come back to the quadrinity, the fact that we aren't simply a spiritual self living in the body. We also have an intellect and an emotional self. And they're the ones that will inevitably at the moment pull us off or pull us away from that ongoing connection with our spiritual self. The different ways in which they behave will draw us off, and we'll be worried or pulled or planning whatever's going on that pulls us off center for a moment. And as we are an integrated quadrinity, each of us, then those aspects as well want to be more present, because the moments that we have of being integrated, of being led by our spiritual selves, means that our intellects and our emotional selves are also interested in being in the present, to be able to enjoy the moment at times when it isn't necessary to be thinking about and planning the future. And so drawing a distinction between the compulsivity of patterns of behavior and making choices to behave in particular ways at particular times. So once again, it's a repeat of an expression which you'll probably remember and are familiar with, of the difference between a pattern that's using you and you using a pattern. And so just to come back to the quadrinity, that knowing that many of you have already had an experience of a quad check-in today, we're going to have the experience of another one right now, which is going to have a slightly different focus to it. And so if you'd like to just make yourselves comfortable, just shifting around if you need to, and closing your eyes for a moment, a few moments. And as I lead you through this quadrinity check-in. And so putting your attention on your body now. And take a deep breath in. Breathing deeply into your lungs, into your belly. And then take another breath. And as you put your attention on your body, notice whatever sensations are there. No judgments, no need to change anything. Just noticing whatever sensations are there in your body. Noticing if there are some places that are relaxed, more relaxed. Other places that perhaps are tense. Other places where you feel warm or cold. Other places there may be some tingling. Or perhaps some places you just feel a bit numb. And so ask your body now, as you put your attention on it, ask your body what it needs from you right now. And just listen for whatever it is your body needs. Just accepting it, just hearing it. Maybe you can meet it now, maybe not, maybe later. And then also ask your body now, what do you need or want so that you're able to be more present? Just hear whatever your body has to say. Now for a moment, just appreciate all that your body does for you, some of its qualities, its flexibility, its ability to move, its ability, all of the senses, its ability to touch, to see, to hear, to taste, to smell, and all of the processes that are taking place within your body. And then say softly out loud, thank you, body. And now turn your attention to your intellect. And notice what your intellect's thinking about at the moment. Any thoughts, opinions, judgments, whatever's going on in your mind at the moment, in your intellect. And without any judgment, but just bringing your awareness to your intellect and noticing whatever's going on. And then ask your intellect, what do you need or want from me right now? Just notice what your intellect replies. And then asking your intellect, what do you need or want from me? So that you're able to be more present. Just hear whatever it is your intellect has to say. And now take a moment to acknowledge some of the qualities of your intellect, its abilities. all of the planning, the decision making, sifting information, providing you with all of the facts that you need, making choices. And then saying softly out loud, thank you, intellect. And now taking another breath and turn your attention to your emotional self. And notice what you're feeling at the moment. And you may have more than one feeling. Perhaps what appear to be contradictory feelings even, but just being aware of what you're feeling without judgment. And notice how old your emotional self feels at the moment. Knowing that its age can vary. And accepting that. But right now, noticing how old your emotional self feels right now. And then ask your emotional self, what do you need or want from me right now? And just hearing what your emotional self has to say. Saying that you'll meet that need when you can. And then asking your emotional self, what do you need or want from me that'll enable you to be more in the present? We'll just hear what it has to say. And then acknowledging your emotional self for its range of feeling, for its willingness to feel and to express those feelings, for its vulnerability, its courage, its resilience. So just put your attention on some of the qualities, some of the emotions of your emotional self that you appreciate. And then say softly out loud, thank you, emotional self. And now turn your attention to your spiritual self. This is your essence. This is who you really are, your true self, the unprogrammed part of you, non-judgmental, in the present, the part of you that's mindful, the part of you that's always self-compassionate. So get in touch with some of the qualities of your spiritual self. Breathe into your spiritual self's presence. Appreciating its aliveness. And feel yourself embodying your spiritual self. So perhaps shifting your posture a little bit so that you have a sense of really embodying this unprogrammed part of you, your authentic self, who you really are. And listen for whatever message your spiritual self has for you right now. And now ask your spiritual self for another message on how you can allow it to be more present in your life. how you can make it easier for it to be more present in your life. Really acknowledging this part of you, all the way that it guides you in life. Guide you to making the best choices for you. And so taking another breath now and bringing your awareness back to your body, sitting wherever you are. And as you take another breath, just tuning into and noticing whatever sensations are going on in your body. And then as you take another breath, then gently opening your eyes. So if you'd like to just take a few moments that you, the workbook which you have, which if you printed that off or if you have some paper with you, on page 4, you'll find a spot to make some notes about specifically about what each aspect of you needs and wants, and then also a few words about how each of them can be more present, the message that you got. So do just take a few moments to make some notes on page 4 with a particular focus on how you can be more present, how each aspect can be more present. So I'll just give you 2 or 3 minutes for doing that. So another minute or so. Does anybody need more than that? You could just raise a thumb if you need more than a minute. Okay. So I'd just like to give you an opportunity, if any of you would like to share any of the messages that you got about how one or other of your aspects is able to be more present. What did they say to you? Is anybody who would like to share that? If so, if you'd just like to unmute yourself.
Yeah, I'm happy to share.
Okie doke. Go ahead, Mary.
Just really, and it's been coming up in my quad checks, all parts of my quadrinity are really just loving the slowness of living these days. Mm-hmm. And I really feel so much more in touch with myself because of that. I'm actually in France, where we're slowly relaxing the lockdown, and it's been just so interesting and so full to see how my different parts react to that, and I find myself running back to my little nest.
Okay, thank you. And I guess what leads on from that, perhaps others of you feel the same or have something which you can relate to in what Mary said, and of realizing that in this time of lockdown, of having a lot more time to yourselves, how much easier it is for you to do that. And I guess that the other question I would ask from that, and I don't know whether you want to answer this, Mary, or whether someone else would like to answer it, but to give you the opportunity first up, Mary, if you'd like to, is having had this experience and knowing that things are going to be changing at some point, that as the lockdown is eased and we return to some form of life, whatever that involves in terms of social distancing, but certainly, you know, interacting with the world again in a way that you have in the past. What can you take from what it is you have experienced in this period to enable you to stay more present to yourself and to all parts of you? Do you have any sense of that? What you could, what will make that easier?
So it's a really great question. And I'd said, actually, I think I said it in one of the webinars when we did one of the breakout rooms, how the one thing I wanted to take away was my evening walk. Mm-hmm. Because it did, being in nature and moving, and it took half an hour, and it was always doing the same loop because in France we were restricted to 1 kilometer. Mm-hmm. And then I realized today I've done that walk once in the last 2.5 weeks.
Okay. So
it's maybe not the greatest realization, but it was a realization that I said that I'd do it and I haven't.
Okay. And so perhaps an intention you might have is to incorporate that more into your life, of knowing the value of that.
I think it's as much as anything the value of just feeling my feet on the ground.
Yes.
You know, and that was something that also came up in that last meditation, is that I work in the world of cycling. I am a road cyclist. Mm-hmm. And my emotional self certainly wants more play because it's, you know, we've all experienced it. It's so wonderful and liberating. And although the cycling does often give me the sense of freedom and play, and I'm with friends and I love it, and especially being able to do it again, there is a sense of I should do it. Whereas actually just walking and feeling, you know, walking barefoot, feeling my feet in the garden, in the earth, is really, really grounding.
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't even have to be a walk. Maybe I just need to walk barefoot a little bit more.
Yeah. And certainly in terms of looking at, there's more places to write on page 6. I think there's a place to be making some notes about what can I do to bring more presence into my life and connecting with the present moment. And so during this conversation, if you'd like to make some notes on that page. And certainly I would really reinforce the value of present moment walking. And as you've described there about, you know, feeling your feet on the grass. And, you know, I kind of, it would expand that to suggest that in walking, and certainly it can be amazing to walk in nature, as some others of you mentioned earlier. But even in the city, you can also walk with a present moment awareness of really being aware of your feet on the ground. And I mean, barefoot in the grass and in nature is a lovely thing to do. But also when you're wearing shoes and walking on the street, is just really being present in your body, feeling your footsteps on the ground, and also tuning into your other abilities to hear, to be listening, to use the senses, whatever you can hear, putting your attention on what you're hearing, putting attention on what you can smell. And, you know, that expression about stopping and smelling the roses. Well, you know, again, if you're in nature in the countryside, to do that. But there are parallels of what you can do when you're in the city as well, of what you can see, of really putting your attention on your senses and really having a connection with your body as well. And so that's the beginnings of starting to look at the ways in which you can be more present in your life. And I'm just wondering, is anybody else would like to share anything about messages that you got from one or other aspect of your quadrinity about what you can do to be more present? Anybody else like to share anything?
Yeah, I was told by my my spiritual self that see this as little baby steps. Do lots of little things, and it's like a muscle. The more I do it, the more it becomes part of my life.
Right.
Because usually I see, oh, I've got to be mindful, and I just see this huge thing, and it's unmanageable. And if I break it down into smaller things, then it's doable.
So a kind of a step-by-step approach of just one after the other?
Yeah, just little baby steps.
Yeah, yeah. Great, okay. So helpful advice, and certainly taking the baby steps means of kind of not expecting yourself to be somewhere in the distance or having a high expectation on yourself about where you should be. But just step by step. Thank you. Thanks, Patrick. Anybody else like to add anything?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rob, hi.
Yes. Hello. My Robert. Spiritual self. Yeah. Hello. Thank you. My spiritual self basically just told me, you can turn me on and off. It's up to you. I'm always there. Because I have had the feeling that it was difficult to connect to the spiritual self. That I need to go into deep quadrinity checks and spend time to get there. But he was just saying, no, I'm here always. And I'm always available. Mm-hmm. I'm your life energy.
Yes.
That was very interesting.
Great. Thank you. And certainly, again, something which you may want to, you know, others of you to make notes of on page 6, because, you know, what you said there, Robert, is really a reminder of something which we likely said on your process before the visualization of I am that I am, which you probably remember was the visualization when you invited your spiritual self to take the lead role in your quadrinity. And one of the comments that we would have made at that point is to do with the connection between the word spirit and the French words for breathing in and breathing out, inspirer and expirer, and therefore the close connection between breath and spirit. And I remember when I had that experience on the process myself of finding that really a helpful reminder, because, you know, often we, you know, if we're into putting awareness on our breathing and putting our attention on our breathing, then it's a conscious connection with it. But I guess the flip side of that is knowing that we simply breathe, you know, even when we're not aware of it, that we simply breathe, because we know that the air is there, the oxygen is there. And so in the same way, is just, you know, as you described there, Robert, it's like also knowing that our spiritual self is always there, and it can be a really helpful connection, which I can certainly recommend, of just catching myself in the moment of breathing and like, wow, yeah, my spiritual self is right here. And so getting that connection and knowing you have the choice. Yeah, you can check in whenever feels like the right time. So thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. So anybody else like to add anything before we move on to another aspect of presence? Yeah.
Yes, I think. I one thing that kept coming up for me in the community chat was trust. Trusting my trusting my body, trusting my emotional self, but not wanting to somehow interfere with them, but trusting them.
Okay. So you're trusting, is it your body and your emotional self in particular that you had that sense of needing to trust them or wanting to trust them?
And the intellect as well, to somehow have confidence in them.
And so is there an aspect of you that, I mean, is a lack of trust something which is an issue for you? of not feeling that you can trust those parts of you?
But I think I avoid being present.
Yes.
By having a certain distrust of what it is I'm actually feeling. So it takes me out of the moment because I'm not trusting those aspects of myself.
Okay. And so thank you. So just hearing that your need to simply to trust your emotional self in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And also for the link here of realizing that not trusting your emotional self and perhaps your body as well is something that takes you out of the moment and takes you away from being present. Is that the experience that you have, Mish?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's a question that I would ask all of you is to do with really having a sense of what it is that takes you away from being present so that you can have some more awareness of that. And so just so that we can move into exploring it, I'm just going to take you through another very brief closed eye experience. And so that you can really tune into what it is that pulls you off center, what it is that distracts you from being able to be present in the moment. So do just please close your eyes again for a few moments. And just taking a deep breath and connecting once again with your posture sitting in your chair. And now as you sit here, is just calling to mind, calling to your memory of a typical day and imagining yourself at the beginning of the day of just waking up. And as you wake up, what's the first thing that comes into your mind and then the first thing that you do? Are you present when you wake up? Are you just present in the bed and welcoming a new day? Or are you immediately distracting yourself by picking up your phone or your iPad and checking in what's going on with the news, or wanting always to find out what's going on, or instantly planning the day ahead? So what do you do when you first wake up in the morning? And then as the day you get up and you get ready to get out of bed and you head for the shower perhaps. And as you get into the shower, are you present having the shower? Are you present and feeling the water on your skin, of really being aware of the touch, as you're washing yourself with the soap, feeling the pressure of the water on your body, perhaps on your head when you're washing your hair? Or are you already thinking about, oh, what am I going to do as I have breakfast? Or what am I going to have for breakfast? And what am I going to do today? How am I going to fill the day? And already planning what you're going to be doing and taking yourself out of your, away from your center. And then you have breakfast. When you're having breakfast, are you present to having breakfast? To noticing the food as it goes into your mouth and being aware of chewing it. And the same when you're drinking a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. Are you present to the taste of it? Do you feel it going as you swallow it? Do you feel it going down your throat? Or are you perhaps reading your iPad or reading your phone or reading a book as you're eating? Do you distract yourself? And how do you distract yourself? So notice whatever it is that pulls you away from being present. What are the things that you do? And what are the ways in which you are able to stay present to other people? For those of you who are living with others, you know, what's the way in which you interact with them? Are you able to be present to them? And for those of you who are living alone, when you're making contact with other people by phone or through WhatsApp or Zoom, whatever ways in which you're connecting with other people, are you able to be really present to the other person when you're talking to them? Or do you distract yourself by already thinking about how you're going to answer them or coming up with a better story than they have, or thinking about what else you're going to be doing after the conversation? So notice the ways in which you distract yourself from being able to be present with other people in your life. Are your thoughts and feelings more important than theirs? Do you get bored with listening to what somebody else is saying? Are you making judgments about them, about their appearance, or judgments about what it is they're saying? Or are you being totally present to them? But notice, what is it you do when you pull yourself away and distract yourself and make it difficult for you to be present with others? And then it's time perhaps in your day for you to go out and have some exercise, and very much a physical activity primarily. So when you're walking, when you're having your exercise, are you able to be with your body, connected to your feet on the ground, listening and looking and using your senses to enable you to be present in the environment that you're in, present in your body, feeling the movement and the flexibility of your body? Or are you distracting yourself with thoughts, and in fact spending more time in your thinking than you are in your body? So notice whatever ways you distract yourself from tuning into your body, perhaps ignoring it and its needs. What is it you do that takes you away from being able to be truly present to your body? When you're walking, or even when you're sitting, do you tune into your body when you're sitting? So notice whatever it is that takes you away from being able to be present to your body. And then as you continue on through your day and noticing the ways in which you distract yourself from the things that you get stressed by, so notice, you know, what do you use to enable you to numb out, to avoid what it is you're feeling? Or are you able to be consistently present to your feelings and whatever's going on? But what do you do if you want to distract yourself from your feelings? Do you spend time, again, on your phone or your laptop? Or do you watch movies with Netflix? Do you drink more than you need to? Or do you smoke? Or do you do online shopping? So notice whatever it is you do, whatever habits, whatever addictions you use to try and numb out and ignore whatever it is you're feeling. Anything that takes you away from being present to your feelings. So just getting all of that information, remembering what it is you've experienced, and taking a deep breath and then bringing your awareness back to your body. Tuning into whatever your body's feeling at the moment. And then taking another breath, and when you're ready, opening your eyes. And then if you can pick up your workbook again, that mini workbook, and on page 5, you'll find a place just to make some notes about the ways in which you distract yourself or pull you off center. So if you can just make some notes on that, just give you a couple of minutes to do that. On page 5 on your workbook. So another minute or so. Okay, so if you can draw your words to a close now, please, your writing. And to ask if there's anybody who would like to share any significant information that came out of that or anything unexpected.
Yeah, hi, Jeremy, it's Neil.
Hi, Neil.
Hi. I mean, this is really interesting because it's made me think about what I'm doing. And I do find it incredibly difficult to be in the present. So this lockdown has got me into a routine of going for a run each morning. And during that time, which is about, say, 25 minutes, I will try and do a quad check-in. But I get so distracted and I think it's kind of my emotional self looking backwards and going over, ruminating on things that have happened and how that I could have been better in those circumstances. Mm-hmm. And then my intellectual self looking forward and seeing how I can plan and do what I need to do in the day. So I do find, just in that sort of first section, I do find it really difficult being in the present.
Okay, thank you. So being aware of the tendency of your emotional self to regret things that have happened and for your intellect to be planning. And thank you for sharing that. Anybody else like to share any insights or awareness that came from that?
I can share.
Okay, thanks, Ed.
For me, it's, I found that when I was thinking about conversations with people, that instead of just being, I'm always reading their expression for what they're feeling. I'm thinking, how are they feeling? I'm thinking, how should I be feeling? What will I say next? So I don't know, how do you just be? How do you just not be thinking about what they're saying and letting it just happen?
Okay. So, I mean, I guess that, you know, what's coming up for you there is an awareness of particular patterns of behavior.
The pattern of behavior would probably be wanting to be liked. So we've got to make sure the conversation goes well and that I'm coming across well and they like me.
Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, in that moment of having the awareness of the pattern is therefore a reminder that, you know, okay, there's a habit there which is still got a lot of energy. The next step you can take is, and again, something which can happen more and more quickly, is to remind yourself that you're not your patterns. And, you know, as a first step of being able to draw a line between you and the pattern. And, you know, and then also you have that awareness of saying, oh, there's that pattern again. And do I, you know, what can I do to change that? What can I do to take the energy out of it and to get in touch with the positive alternative? Have I recycled it? And so, you know, certainly the overall awareness of what's going on will then give you the possibility of being able to, just in that moment, take a step back from it. And, you know, one of the practices that you can use, which will enable you to be more present in those moments of just realizing that you're in a pattern and how strong it is to ask yourself, what would my spiritual self do in this situation? It's just instantly, it's turning the attention from the pattern to being able to connect with your spiritual self. Yes, there may also be some information there about there's a pattern that I need to put some attention on when I get home. But in the moment, there is always that possibility of coming back to the present moment. And I guess that another aspect of being able to be more present is to reinforce that realization that I'm not my patterns. And that can come firstly by making more, having a stronger connection with your spiritual self, but also being able to change the language, the internal language that we use, which is from that place of knowing I'm not my patterns, is being able to say, ah, there it goes again. It's just that sense of, okay, so I still have some habits. They're still coming up, but here it goes again. And that can help to just not take it quite so seriously and to know that, you know, bringing your, in that moment, being able to come back to your spiritual self. So does that give you a sense of what you can be doing differently, Ed?
Yeah, definitely. And as you would, saying it, I was breathing to try and take it in rather than be thinking. So out of the mind into the to the body. So that helps. And then the spiritual side comes with the breathing.
Yeah, great. Okay. So that's, you know, being able to find those present moment practices of knowing what it is will make a difference and just noting that down as being one of the things that you can do with notes to yourself on page 6. About what you can do to bring more presence into your life. And so, I mean, I guess there's a sense that comes from what we've heard there from people who shared, is a sense of starting to realize, you know, what it is you miss out on by not being present. So, you know, as you put your attention on that, what would you see as being some of the things or some of things is such a kind of a general word, I realize, but, you know, what is it that you miss out on by not being present? Anybody who has a connection to that or a realization from that who would like to share?
I think, it's Bobby here.
Yeah, hi, Bobby.
Hi. I think being in the present is being able to be with your spiritual self. And I think that's what I feel that at the moment I've sort of lost is my spiritual self. My intellect seems to sort of run on overdrive. And so it's squashed and muted my sort of spiritual self. And that's what I miss being my spiritual self. And in turn, I miss being in the presence.
Okay. So thank you for sharing that. And as you talk about it, do you have a sense of or a realization of what you're able to do about that, to be using the tools or the practices?
If I'm honest at the moment, no, because my mind is on overdrive most of the time. And okay. So it's the intellect that takes over. I know there is a spiritual self in there. I'm aware there must be one. And I do have a gut feeling, but trying to actually let it take over some of the negativity of my intellect, etc., is what's tough.
Okay. And so, I mean, certainly in terms of, you know, putting attention on what you can do broadly to bring more presence, is firstly to listen to the I am that I am visualization. Is that something which you do or have done?
I have done in the past, and I do remember enjoying it, so I will go back and do that again. I'll take your advice on that.
Okay, so that would be one thing, certainly to rebuild your connection with your spiritual self. What I would also suggest as another practice is that you probably remember on the process was the experience of when your intellect and your then emotional child had a conversation, which was sort of encouraged to be, in some cases, maybe shouting at each other, just to for each part of you to hear, of those two, for each of them to hear the other. And I'm guessing from what you said, that your emotional self has perhaps been a fairly small part in your life. It sounds like it is at the moment, and perhaps it always has been. Would that be true?
I don't think it always has been, but it is at the moment and has been for a good while, yes.
Okay. And so just to suggest as another practice is to have a conversation between your intellect and your emotional self, and to set that up by having a couple of chairs, one for the intellect, one for the emotional self, and to give your emotional self an opportunity to tell your intellect how it feels about what's going on and about the imbalance that's there at the moment.
What would you recommend to reestablish separating my quadrinity? Because I was thinking actually at the beginning of this talk that I find that they're all a bit of a mush. I don't know necessarily that they are separate people, mm-hmm. separate quadrinities. And so I don't know how to listen to them individually.
Okay. So do you do the quadrinity check-in?
Occasionally, on and off.
Okay. And I mean, I would suggest in the short term would be to do that more often as a way to start separating them out. And as you may know, that it is available to do online 5 days a week, which is led by one of the facilitators, which could make it a little bit easier for you to be led through it and enable you to start separating them out. And so that's one suggestion I would make. And also just from the point of view of being able to get a little bit more of a sense of your intellect and your emotional self, is that in your workbook on day four, somewhere in the middle of day four, you will find that there is a list of patterns of the intellect and the patterns of the emotional self. And that'll help to give a bit more sense of the those two parts of you. And certainly, yes, it's giving an emphasis in that moment on the patterns that come with each part of them. But also, I suppose the overview is, of course, that the intellect is a thinking part, the emotional self is the feeling part. And so I think that to do the quad check-in would then help you to differentiate between those two a little bit more, which could then lead on to having a conversation between them. So as an overarching range of possibilities there, Bobby.
Thank you.
So can I just ask of anything else that's come to anybody's mind about or your mind to your being about what it is you're missing out on when you're not able to be present and connected to your spiritual self?
Hello. Hi, Stephen here. Hi. Yeah, just what for me personally, what you're missing out on, I'm missing out on, is not being your authentic self and not achieving what your heart's desire is. I'm a massive procrastinator, massive. Uh-huh. And start off with good intentions. And you just I can do 101 things, think of 101 things at the same time. And the objective of what I want to do is what is my heart's desire, just sort of disappears in the mist somewhere. At the end of the day, you just think, all right, okay, it's a bit frustrating.
And so is there a connection between your, what I hear you say is your heart's desire and your, what I hear is a kind of an identification with being, with the procrastination of the way you described it by saying, I'm a procrastinator, rather than I have a strong pattern of procrastination.
Yeah, so maybe. Yeah, sort of labeling it a bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. And so in labeling it, and this is where language is important, by labeling it will enable you to do something about it. And, you know, the procrastination to be able to, I would imagine that it being so significant in your life that you would have dealt with it on your process.
Yes. Yeah.
But it still has a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And therefore, with that awareness of knowing that you need to do, sounds like you know you need to do something about it, because it's sounds like it's having a huge impact on your ability to move towards what it is you want in life, and therefore to do some expression of some kind on the pattern. And I guess just as a reminder about if it's a pattern, if you dealt with it on your process and batted on your mum or dad or both of them that you learned it from, and forgiving them for having passed it on to you, that where you put attention now in the expression is the fact that you're pissed off with the fact that it's still there and it's still having such a big impact in your life.
So
you know, do some expression on that, and then come to the point of recycling it so that you have an alternative.
Right. Thanks, Jeremy. Thank you.
Welcome. Okay. Anybody else like to add anything about the awareness of just what you're missing out on when you're not present to your spiritual self?
Sorry, Jeremy. It's me again, Bobby. Just what somebody actually typed into the group just before, which in fact, I think they're very right. It's not my intellect that's sort of on overdrive. It's the dark side that is on overdrive. And that's what's limiting me being in the present and finding my spiritual self.
Great. Okay. So great awareness to have. So do you know what you need to do to de-energize your dark side?
I need to smash the hell out of it.
Yeah, well, that's a good answer. And I guess that I would imagine that what Bobby just said may well resonate for many of you. And so just as a reminder about the dark side stomp as being a very helpful way of dealing with that, which is to, you know, to imagine you can hear everything that it's saying coming through your left ear, and then turning your head and seeing it on your left shoulder, pulling it out, throwing it on the floor, stamping on it and making a noise. And then afterwards, imagining a beam of light coming down into your left shoulder and going down and healing where the dark side was. Mm. And, you know, be creative with that, because certainly, you know, maybe it's something that you can easily do at home, and certainly under these circumstances when you're spending a lot of time at home, just to use that and to do it. And I mean, certainly I know it's sort of for a while after I did my own process that I needed to do the dark side stomp several times a day, because it really was very powerful. And then, you know, there may be other ways when you're out in the world of finding creative ways of dealing with it, and maybe going into a toilet and pulling it out and throwing it into the toilet and flushing it down. It can be a very effective way of de-energizing it, or sometimes making its voice sound like a helium balloon, kind of so making it sound ridiculous. And also, I don't know whether you were on the webinar last week where the dark side was explored and various ways of dealing with it were suggested. So if you weren't, then I would suggest the possibility that you could listen to that webinar and really put a good focus on the dark side. Okay, so thanks for that. Anybody else like to add anything in about what they realize they're missing out on by not being connected to the spiritual self?
Yes. Hello, it's Robert again.
Hiya.
Yes, I realized that by not being present, I also lack emotional empathy, connection to the people around me. And that is a very important part for me, like a reason to work on this, to be present emotionally to other people.
Yeah. And how do you do that? What do you do that prevents you from being emotionally present for other people? How do you distract yourself?
I think I'm very self-focused, like on my own judgment, on how things are for me. Mm-hmm. I also pretend to be in the present. For example, I might be like cleaning the kitchen top all the time instead of doing something else, thinking that's the present. But actually, I don't think, I'm still fooling myself, yeah?
Okay. And so what, you know, do you know what it is, why it was that you needed to do that? Was there your experience in your childhood, what was it that kept you separate from being able to be present and to be empathic and be there for other people?
It's a good question, but no, I'm not sure I've done that digging yet.
Okay, so maybe that would be helpful to do, because while I absolutely hear that, you know, you want to do what you can do, so that you're able to do that, is just to get a sense of whatever it is, which, you know, what your childhood was like, that maybe it wasn't safe for you to be empathic to other people or to connect, you know, not knowing anything about your story, about what your relationship with your parents or other caregivers was. So do check in with that so that you're able to defuse what it is that's making it hard for you to be empathic for other people, and why you need to, as I hear it, you know, look after yourself first and put yourself first all the time.
Thank you. Yes, I will do that.
Jeremy,
thank you.
Jeremy, yeah. I feel slightly bad about this. I go to most of the quad checks in the morning, and one of my patterns is busyness. And I seem to have had the opposite experience of everybody else. I've never been as busy as I am now. Uh-huh. Everything that we'd done earlier this year, we're redoing, and it's just so busy. And often, I've just sat here while I'm talking to you and made a list of things I have to do. And I often do it in my head during the quad check. And I don't fully engage. Help.
Okay. And I mean, really just bringing it back, Amanda, to I'm hearing that kind of over busyness is something which, very literally takes you away from being able to be present to the quad check-in. And so what's your particular history, your patterns of behavior in terms of being over busy, of always having to be planning ahead? You know, what did you learn about that? What was your experience like as a child?
Well, I like doing things. I think that's part of the problem. I like doing things, and then I probably got into a pattern of doing them well, so I get praised. So I people please, overcommit.
Mm-hmm. And so what part of what's going on in your life at the moment, you say that you're being very busy with the things that are happening in the house, and the fact that it sounds as if a lot of planning is necessary, which is fine. It's what the intellect does, is to make the plans that need to be made. But what I'm hearing is that, you know, given the amount of time in the day, that, you know, that there is the possibility of sitting down with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and making a list there and then. So, you know, what I'm hearing is that it sounds as if that over busyness, that the planning kind of sabotages the possibility of being able to connect to all parts of your quadrinity and connecting to your spiritual self. So using the time when the quad check-in is going on to do something which you could make some time separately to do. And so, you know, it brings me back to the question about whether it's your dark side, which is sabotaging the time that you set aside to connect to your spiritual self and to all aspects of your quadrinity.
I think it's boundaries.
I think it's boundaries.
Understanding of boundaries and being able to set boundaries.
Uh-huh. And so the aspect of needing to set boundaries, now how does that play out in your life, of being able to differentiate and put attention on different aspects at different times?
I think it's more saying no to people so that I don't end up really, really busy work-wise and create some time for me.
Okay. And so that's the part then about the setting boundaries and being able to say no. So, you know, what was your experience like as a child, that you always needed to be putting other people's needs first, and not being able to say no, not being able to speak up?
Mm. That's a good summary of it.
Yeah. Okay, so you recognize what the patterns are in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so to put some attention on them. Okay, so where I'd like to put attention now, just for the next little while, is really to start, as we've started to explore in some of the interactions with some of you, about, you know, what it is you can do to bring more presence into your life. And I have some suggestions. I've already mentioned some of them in terms of listening to the I Am That I Am visualization and doing regular quad check-ins. And maybe you'd like to start putting some of the things that are relevant for you in that list on the blank space on page 6. But, you know, what are the things, as you put your attention on that, on this, and the combination of what it is you've heard from the different aspects of you about what you need to do or what they need from you to be able to be more present, what would be some of those practices or activities that would enable you to be more present? So perhaps I can hear from some of you who'd like to make some suggestions and things that you've become aware of that you need to do more of.
Sleep.
Sleep.
Okay. Sleep.
So anything more you'd like to say about that? Is that to do with needing to rest more? Or?
Yeah, it's nuts. I'm tired and exhausted, and then I numb out. And I'm just, the other thing I do is I try and pack too much in, and then I'm late and I'm rushing, and then I've no idea where I am.
Okay.
I'm not so, in touch with
over busyness and yeah. Okay. 100%. So great. So more downtime, more relaxation, yeah. More sleep.
Honestly, that just changes everything.
Okay, great. Okay, so keep to that one. Thank you. Thanks, Sue. Anybody else?
Jeremy, what I've found is I've just been listening to music more recently. Some of my friends set up a little DJ session on the phone, and they're playing lots of sort of old music, so retro music.
Yeah.
And it's just been so wonderful, because I know them and I'm trying to support them. I've actually just sat and listened to the music. And because it's old stuff from the 60s and 70s, you've got that emotional connection with the old tunes. And so I just find the whole experience emotionally and just spiritually, and it's just a wonderful thing to do, to listen to the music. So I found that fabulous. I've only been doing it the last week, but it's really been wonderful.
Great. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Yeah. So listening to music and dancing perhaps as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Certainly something I enjoy doing from time to time. So thanks for sharing that, Jan. Anybody else like to share anything?
I'll share something, Jeremy.
Yes, Alison.
When I'm not being present, sometimes it's because I'm not actually being very kind to myself. So try to sort of have a dialogue of, no wonder you're telling yourself off. Just know that my dark side sometimes is just trying to protect me and keep me doing what, like, a lot of the time my dark side say, no, you're going to be late, you should have set off earlier, and just knowing that there's part of it that's trying to protect me and get me setting off at the right, get me planning ahead the next time.
And so what ways can you be more kind to yourself to counteract all of that?
Just noticing the dialogue and just not trying to chase it away, but just that's a dialogue. That's not, there's some element of it is trying to protect me. Okay. So just not trying to tell myself off for having the dialogue.
Not getting caught up in the dialogue and blaming yourself for it.
Yeah, not blaming myself for having the dark side dialogue.
So some more acceptance.
Yes, yeah, just so, you next time you could set off, next time you could build in that 15 minutes you always need.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so, yeah, not giving yourself a hard time.
Yes.
Great, okay, thank you. And a couple of things, I'd like to make some suggestions, and I'm wondering if many of you practice yoga. Of bringing yourself into the present moment with that, and meditation, and certainly just to make a comment about there are so many different meditations that we can do, and ranging from specific lengths of time of perhaps TM or a Buddhist practice or checking in with a number of the different apps of mindfulness and watching your breath. So many different forms of meditation, of a way of being in the moment. And, certainly my own experience, having over the years put a focus on, or two of those that I mentioned, of starting off with TM many years ago, and then also following a Vipassana practice, is that nowadays I find that simply to, whenever I have a few moments to myself, is simply just to sit down and put my awareness on my breathing, just being present in the moment, that just getting snatches of that, of not necessarily needing to say, I've got to put aside 10 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever, but just maybe 2 or 3 minutes here and there can make a huge amount of difference. So maybe something that you may like to consider and just to incorporate. And self-compassion of, again, and many of these practices that you could incorporate in your life can often be done just by catching a moment or two here and there. Self-compassion, putting your hands over your heart and tuning in to yourself, tuning in to your spiritual self and experiencing a sense of self-compassion. And also many things around connecting with your body, of really allowing yourself to tune into that, whether it be through walking. And again, simply when you're sitting down or anything that you're doing is just checking in with your body, noticing the sensations of whatever is going on. And something else that I really wanted to draw attention to is, and I'm kind of sort of approaching it from a slightly backward way, that on the process, the experience you had of play day and everything that happened in that long afternoon of decorating the room and then the different play and everything that happened on from that, the magic carpet. And I've always heard about a visit from a man in red, but always seem to miss out on that one. But and then a satire that you prepared and performed. And so there was a whole range of things that you did to enjoy play. And the following morning, when we had a session which explored the experience that you'd had of play day, was that we asked you to pick out key moments when you felt that you were totally in the fun and the play. And also recognizing that maybe there were patterns that you went into and that gave you an opportunity to do something about those patterns. But the key part of that is what I wanted to draw attention to is the moments when you were really present in the play, in the fun. And to reinforce that, the ability for you to be totally present when you're having fun. And so to make sure, to ask briefly, what fun you've been bringing into your life, even in this past period of the lockdown in particular, what ways have you found to have fun and to be creative? Is there anybody who would like to let us know what they've been doing for fun? Have you been having fun? Is it something which is a focus in your life?
Dancing.
Dancing, great. Okay. Thanks, Lizzie. What other kinds of fun? How many of you have been dancing? Hands up for those of you who've been dancing.
I'm trying to learn how to hula hoop.
Oh. Excellent.
I'm having such a lot of fun failing miserably.
At your hula hoop?
Yeah, I have it here.
Oh, great.
I won't demonstrate. Actually, I should really demonstrate because it'd be really fun for everybody else, but I won't.
Oh, go ahead, Paul. Demonstrate for a moment.
Let them say, okay, this is me. This is, okay.
Yay!
And then I'm going to look for some instructions from people. That's as good as it gets at the moment.
Okay, well, thank you. Thanks, Paul. And what I really liked about that was, and something which I'd like to add in, is the fact of just being able to laugh at ourselves. Mm. And, what I hear from you, Paul, is that you're trying to do it and it's not really working out at the moment, but you're still going ahead with it and not taking it really seriously. And so I really wanted to add that one in about being able to laugh at ourselves is a way of bringing more lightness into our lives. So, but really to encourage you to think about ways of bringing more fun and play into your life, because that is also a way for you to be able to be more present in your life. There's just a few last comments that I would like to make as we come towards the end of this experience is to do with one thing that really has made a big difference to my life. It kind of grew out of my experience of my process of connecting to my spiritual self. And then a reminder at the end of the week that all spiritual selves are equal. And over the years, that's had a kind of a greater and greater impact on my life of a realization that, you know, regardless of gender, nationality, religion, class, intellectual ability, all the things that in the past that I may well have slipped into of thinking that in some ways I'm better than other people because of this or because of that, is a realization that by being connected to our essence, our spiritual self, and as often as we can, being able to relate from that point, from that beingness of being myself and connecting to that beingness in other people, that it brings a sense of an equality between us all and a realization that, you know, as we spread that realization to everybody in the world is a recognition that we are all equal, and the subtle shifts that that then has in the energy that we are bringing to life, which can have the ripple effects around. And so really just, you know, to as often as you can, just really bring yourself back to that point of realizing as you're connected to your spiritual self, that we are all equal. And, you know, also another aspect of being present, and I use that in the kind of the overall sense in which we're describing being able to be present and connected to our spiritual self, is to be present in whatever it is that we're doing. And, you know, literally present in the moments that we're cooking a meal or doing the washing up or walking in nature. And for some of us, it can be easier. I mean, again, talking about myself, it always in the past used to be a lot easier for me to be present in nature and connected to the life around, the way in which it manifests in so many different ways, the life force. But to be able to bring it back to being totally present in the practicalities of washing up, being totally present when I'm in the shower, being totally present when I'm eating, it all helps to bring us back into the present moment, is to be present in whatever it is that we are doing. And I guess there's another phrase that we use on the process about the difference between living from love rather than from fear. And so living from love is to be connected to ourselves, our essence, our spiritual self, our being. And therefore, in the expression that if we are able to be ourselves and to be living in our essence, then we move on to doing what we need to do to be able to have what we need to have in our lives, which is the reverse of what often happens before we make that connection with our spiritual self, and which may continue, is the sense that, you know, I have to be doing this in order to have that. I need to be making sure that I act in a particular way so that I can have these different items, these different things in my life, and then I'll be happy. But actually, we need to reverse that so that we come fundamentally from being, and then whatever we do is in alignment with our being. Because if we live in fear, then we're always having our attention on the outside and seeing what impact external events are having on us. And of course, fear is an appropriate emotion, but it only becomes overwhelming when we allow it to be compulsive and to be having an influence on the way in which we look at the world and experience the world. So do stay connected to your spiritual self, to love, and to use an expression which I was reminded of today, was to do with the fact that it's the jewel inside of us that's who we really are. And we know that. And maybe sometimes we need reminders of it, but that jewel, our spiritual self, is who we really are. And our body, our intellect, and our emotional self are what we use to live in and to interact with the world. But they are, that all works best and flows the best when we come from our being, from ourselves. So really encouraging you to do whatever you need to do to maintain that connection, strengthen that connection, so that you can bring more presence into your life. So it's just a couple of minutes past 9 o'clock. So this brings us to the end of the evening. And so to thank you all for being here, for being present and engaged, and for all that you have shared. And wishing you very well with continued and strengthened connection to your spiritual self. Thank you.